Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Kings chapter 1. Have you ever fallen through the lattice in your upper room? Man, I hate when that happens, but probably you've never done it. In fact, I'm guessing you don't even know what that means. But I bet you have done something really stupid, and as a result, you paid the price. I know I have. I once played a game of chicken from a moving car with some of my friends in high school. Don't try this at home, folks. Lest you're tempted to revive this idiotic modification of the game of chicken, let me tell you two things. Number one, I won the competition. Number two, it was because I went first. After I jumped from the moving vehicle, it was time to go to the hospital with broken bones. That's right, I may not have fallen through the lattice of my upper room like King Hezekiah does in this chapter, but I did something way more stupid. I was sober, but most likely, Uzziah, the pagan king of northern Israel, was drunk and stumbled through the window screen, or lattice if you're happy to learn the word of the day, of his upper room. In the words of Forrest Gump, stupid is as stupid does, and stupid does a lot. Well, what did stupid does for Ahaziah? Well, like me, he broke some bones and probably damaged a little more than that. I'm guessing he had some internal bleeding that they didn't have the technology to fix. But because he was worried, he sends his men in verse 2, "Go and consult Beelzebub, the god of Akron, to see if I will recover from this injury." You know, when you don't have an x-ray or an x-ray machine, Beelzebub might just be the next best thing. But of course, I jest. Don't go to Beelzebub. Go to the doctor. But in verse 3, the angel of the Lord says, "Hey, not so fast, bub." Get it? Beelzebub? Not so fast, bub? I'll see myself out. Verse 3 says, "But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, 'Go up and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask him, is it because there's no God in Israel that you're going off to consult Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. You will not leave the bed you're lying on. You will certainly die.' So Elijah went. When the messengers returned to the king, he asked them, 'Why have you come back?' They said, 'A man came to meet us, and he said to us, go back to the king who sent you and tell him, this is what the Lord says. Is it because there's no God in Israel you're sending messengers to consult Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you will not leave the bed you're lying on. You will certainly die.' The king asked them, 'What kind of man was it who came to meet you and tell you this?' And they replied, 'He had a garment of hair and had a leather belt around his waist.' And the king said, 'That was Elijah the Tishbite.'" Now note, there was a similarity between Elijah and John the Baptist. I mean, they dressed the same and they both lived in the wilderness. Mark actually draws a connection between Elijah and John the Baptist. We're told in Mark chapter 6, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." And by the way, that prophecy was made by Micah during the time of the history of 2 Kings. But in Jesus' day, the Bible tells us when King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known, some said, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That's why these miraculous powers are at work in him." But others said, "He is Elijah." And others said, "He's a prophet like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." Kings were afraid of John the Baptist like they were the prophet Elijah. And in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus speaks of the greatness of John the Baptist and includes this in verses 14 and 15. "If you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So what does that mean? Was he Elijah coming again? I mean, Elijah didn't die. I mean, he did go up to the kingdom of heaven in a chariot of fire. But no, John the Baptist came as a little baby. He, John the Baptist, will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Luke chapter 1, verse 16 through 17. And in fact, John the Baptist was actually greater than Elijah because he got to see the Messiah. And for that reason, Jesus said, among the prophets, there is none born greater to women than John the Baptist. Why greater? Because others longed to see Christ's day and didn't see it. The bottom line is that John the Baptist didn't just resemble Elijah in the way that he dressed, but also in the manner in which he spoke to kings and authority, and the way that people reacted to him was the same. And in the New Testament, we're told that he fulfills prophecy and becomes a type of Elijah, speaking to power and announcing the Messiah. They would both serve in their own times as voices in the wilderness. And in the wilderness is where we find Elijah during a lot of his ministry, simply because he's in danger of being hunted down and killed, particularly by Ahab. But now that Ahab's dead, Ahaziah also wants to kill him for the message that he was going to die. So we find Elijah sitting on top of a hill where the commanders bring 50 soldiers to come get him. Elijah sits up there as comfortable as a level 20 fire mage, and God consumes the troops and burns them to a crisp. This happens two times, and the commanders take the troops, bring them up the hill, one more time for the same effect. The third commander, the smart one of the three, gets wise and says, Elijah, how about we just talk? Verse 13, so the king sent a third captain with his 50 men. This third captain went up, fell on his knees before Elijah. Man of God, he begged, please have respect for my life and the lives of these 50 men, your servants. See, fire has fallen from heaven and consumed the first two captains and all their men. But now, have respect for my life. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him. Do not be afraid of him. So Elijah got up and went down with him to the king. He told the king, this is what the Lord says. Is it because there's no God in Israel for you to consult that you have sent messengers to consult Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Because you've done this, you'll never leave the bed. Well, we've heard all this before. Verse 17, so he died, according to the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoken. So class, I hope we've learned some lessons today. Today's lessons could be summed up with, don't be stupid. Now, because we often don't know what stupid is as stupid does, let's break it down so the Forrest Gump could understand. Number one, don't consult a pagan god when you've got the god of the universe at your disposal. Now, this could apply to consulting horoscopes, crystal balls, seances, palm reader, psychics, or any other cheap substitute for actually seeking God's face. Is there no God in heaven? You have to go to the gutter for guidance. Number two, don't hike uphill with a prophet on it when the forecast may be calling for fire from heaven. And number three, don't repeat that mistake when the commanders before you get burned to a crisp. At least we don't have to mourn the stupidity of all humanity, maybe just the majority of it. And that probably includes me and you. So let's keep moving through the word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.